But I think, again, as grown-ups, we can sometimes tell ourselves that we are superhuman, that we have no limits. And so I think overwhelmed is what happens to us emotionally. Overstimulated is what happens to us physically.
Right. Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hello, fourth chair friends. We are back with you again. And in our last episode, we talked about being overwhelmed and what we can do when that happens. So this week, we are going to talk about something that's a follow-up, but slightly different. And that is when we are overstimulated, which is usually what leads to being overwhelmed. So being overstimulated is more about what's coming at us from our external world and how we can process all of that, because we have a lot coming at us right now.
Yeah. So today's confession question is this: what happens when you reach your done point?
I was thinking about a story with my daughter, Whitley. When she was a baby, she got completely overstimulated. And I can remember figuring that out, because you don't really know. I was a new mom. And so there were so many people around. And so I had her facing out. And I realized that she needed to be turned around. There was just too much noise. There was too many people. There was all of these things. And so she would like scream her head off. And I realized we kind of do that as adults too. Mm-hmm. We get overstimulated and so we react. So it might be like pulling back and withdrawing. So I feel like as adults, we need to kind of turn our gaze. And so when I reach my done point, that means I need to withdraw, because I don't want to say something I don't mean, or I don't want to like throw an adult fit. It's like, I don't want to do any of that. Yeah. So that means I need to pull back and just, you know, take a deep breath, or, you know, not attend an event or whatever it is.
You know, it's interesting that you talked about an adult fit, because right now we're seeing a lot of clips of people having adult fits, right?
And it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
And it is really sad. And so I feel like they are completely done. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a camera out. So you need to be careful, Karen. So, you know, we just need to take a little break, because we're all triggered, you know, on so many levels, and we don't know what we're going to say or do. So like,
you've
completely
thrown me.
Sorry about that.
but no, you know, I just, because I look at that and I think sometimes, first of all, Lord, please help me not do that. But second, I just think, what is wrong with us that we're having adult fits sitting down in the middle of stores, you know, or screaming at people or going into people's faces? You know, what is wrong with us? And you're absolutely right, Holly. There comes a point to where if you don't deal with this, it's going to deal with you.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's wired into us. I mean, basically, when we become overstimulated and we ignore that for long enough, we hit our flight or fight response, which is what we're seeing. Jennifer described withdrawing, which is flight.
Yes.
The fits that we're seeing in public are fight.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they're okay, but that is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And some of those are probably even the level above that, which is you have fight or flight, which you still have some control at that point. And then the ultimate is the amygdala hijack, which the amygdala controls your actual physical survival.
Yeah.
And if you get to the point where your body and brain are at that point, like, it's a hijack. You no longer have control of your emotions or your actions. That's why people are allowed to plead the insanity defense.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, like, this is not the behavior we want to encourage. We all want to back off from that point and hopefully never get there. I'm just saying that's what we're seeing. Is people just hitting those flight or fight and then amygdala hijack points. And so that's why we're talking about this, because we don't want to go there.
Right.
And we can't go there. I mean, it's so damaging, because there's people on the other side of those, you know, attacks. But I'm going in a little bit different direction. A few years ago, I spoke at a conference and I flew in late. I got up early. We had a staff meeting that started at the crack of dawn. And then this was a conference for women. There were 10,000 women there in the Illinois area. And I remember at some point in the day, I had taught four different workshops. And I, in between, was going back to my book table where I was talking to people all day long. I hadn't eaten properly because I was not able to have that time between these different workshops. And it was like 10:30 at night, and I was still on. And it was still a lot of people. There were all of these large screens around that were playing all the different workshops and keynotes and music that was going on. So sound-wise, it was loud too. And all of a sudden, I was standing behind this table, and everything just went into a haze. Like, my brain said, "You're done." And it scared me. Like, I didn't know what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I literally sat there and I said to the person next to me, "I can't see properly right now. And I can't, you're muffled. I can't hear you. All the colors have went into one big swirl of color." And I honestly, I thought, am I having a mini stroke? I mean, I didn't know what was going on. And I walked away from that learning a really good lesson, is that there comes a point where being stimulated by sight and sound and color is beautiful, but if you are in a sea of it and you don't give yourself a break, your brain will check out.
It really will.
Yeah. The same as social media, news, all the things we have coming at us can work the same way. So I would say that would be the flight version of an amygdala hijack.
Yeah.
Your brain was like, I'm done. It's on the planes when the pilots, you know, the system takes over.
Yeah.
That we have that built into us when the system takes over. And that's what your brain did.
Yeah.
And I think we recognize that better as kids. When I was a kid, a lot in elementary school, I would ask to go to the nurse's office, but I would go there and I would lay down on this little blue cot and I would stare at the ceiling because I would have a stomach ache and then I could go back to class, or I would hide in the bathroom as many introverts do.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think, again, as grownups, we can sometimes tell ourselves that we are superhuman, that we have no limits. And so I think overwhelmed is what happens to us emotionally. Overstimulated is what happens to us physically.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it scared me the next day because I had to do it again. And I remember thinking, okay, how, because I had a nurse come up during that time and she was like, okay. And I said, I don't know what's happening. I don't know if this is like a mini stroke. I don't. And she said, just sit down and I want you to completely close out everything and see if it gets better. And it did. And I'll be honest, in that moment, I felt really silly. I felt ashamed. Mm-hmm. I did. I thought, why did this happen? And then it also brought a little bit of fear into the next day of like, am I going to do this while I'm standing in front of keynote, you know, is this going to happen? It has never happened since, ever.
Yeah.
But what I learned from that is that I can't be physically exhausted, overwhelmed with people, on all day, go without food. Like, that's ridiculous to do to yourself.
Right.
And I did it to myself.
And I read last night that there's a huge increase in what's called heartbreak syndrome. So it's where people have all the symptoms of a heart attack, but it's because of emotional stress.
Okay.
When they go to the ER, there's not something physical going on, but they literally have all the physical symptoms of a heart attack.
Yeah.
And that is way up right now.
Right.
And so I think that although those experiences are frustrating and we wish that we didn't have them, I think we can also say, thank you for the gift of a body that is watching out for me.
Yeah.
That how can I honor that? Because those are all systems that God put in place. Yeah. Like, I love looking at the life of Jesus and like, he took naps on boats.
He did.
He sent the disciples into town to get food while he's like, I need to hang out here. I mean, over and over, we see him saying, all right, I have done what I can do for now.
Yeah.
It's time for a pause.
Yeah. He also kept people close. I love that. He went to pray and said, stay close to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't go far.
Well, and we see when the crowd started pressing in on him, the more that that happened, the more that he retreated, like that he needed that alone time. So I feel like that gives me permission as an introvert to kind of scale back and have that pause, just like he did. He needed his, like, his circle got smaller with the disciples. He had his, like, trusted buddies. And I have that too, you know, with my friends, with you guys, where I feel like I've got my circle that gets smaller because I don't feel overwhelmed with people who give me a lot of room to be who I am.
Yeah.
So what helps you when you are overstimulated, Holly?
Well, I think coming to understand that our nervous systems work a lot like nets. So any external stimulation is something going into our net. Those of us who are highly sensitive people or introverts have smaller holes in our nets, which means they get fuller faster. But we all have a capacity. And so saying, okay, I have this God-given net that is part of who I am. Everything that's coming in from the outside is going to land in there. At some point, it's going to be full. And then I have to go withdraw, do what I need to do, empty some things out of the net, and then I'm ready for more. And so just knowing that, and in this time, that means being very intentional about what goes into my net. Yeah. So, for example, I have no social media notifications on ever, because every single one of those is a pebble because it's external stimulation. And one at a time is fine. Or maybe if you are super high capacity in that way, it's fine for you. But for me, 100 of those a day is about like a boulder. And so just recognizing that that is the way I'm wired. It's also attached to my strengths.
Yes.
Those of us who are deeply impacted in this way, we have high empathy. We are detail oriented. We're very observant of the people in our environment, what's going on around us. Like all our greatest strengths are tied to these vulnerabilities. And so it's not about changing who we are or eliminating parts of who we are. It's saying, how can I wisely manage this, especially right now when there's so much more coming at us?
Yeah. Because I think about that woman listening right now who her house is full of kids, you know, her, she and her husband are working from home, or she's working from home if she's a single parent, and the noise level is at so many decibels all the time, and she's juggling, and the news is coming at her, and social media, and the pinging, and all of that. I just wonder, you know, what we can say to her about those pebbles. Like, some pebbles we don't get to choose.
Yeah.
You know.
But I would say, you know, we need to figure out how to at least get some of that time. Because it's not optional. And research shows even 10 minutes a day
works. That's awesome.
Like, I read a quote from Joanna Gaines, who's probably the busiest woman on the planet.
Right.
And has tons of children and businesses and everything in the world going on. And she said she sits in her car for a few minutes every time she gets ready to go into something new.
Yeah.
That's what she does. She gives herself like 5 minutes in the car.
That's good.
And that's enough for her. And so we're not going as many places, but for that mama, she might lock herself in the bathroom for 5 minutes. And that can be enough for 1 minute and can be enough. Or it's saying, all right, family, we're having 15 minutes of quiet every day at 2 o'clock. That means everything in the house gets turned off, including our voices. And, you know, just start there. So we're not, these aren't big things. Tiny things can be enough to keep us from that threshold of where we go to that over place.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes when we make these decisions too, it's hard because if you have an extrovert in the house, or if somebody else just doesn't get it. But the other day I had two of my littles, and they're boys. And I think that they have had a lot of together time. And they were over together time. And it was just, it was getting louder and louder and more volatile. And I just went to them and said, guys, I'm not mad at you at all, but you're going to have to separate. And I'm going to give you each 15 minutes of quiet time in a separate room. And they acted like it was the end of the world. You know, why would you do that? I don't understand. And I said, yeah, I know. I get to. So we went upstairs and I put one in one room, one in the other. I said, you can do whatever you want. You can play, you can read, you can do whatever you want. But I'm going to set a timer and you can't come down for 15 minutes and you can't be together for 15 minutes. And later I was talking with Josiah, who's six. And I said, buddy, you understand I wasn't mad at you when I did that. And he said, No, but we needed it so bad. And I just thought in the moment they were fighting me, you know? And I think that happens sometimes is that like people will fight you on it. And then after they're like, oh, not only did you need that, we needed that. Mm-hmm.
I will find myself saying, can we put a pin in this and come back to it? and I will just explain, like, even like leaving today, I had all of these questions. The minute I was, you know, was about to walk out of the door. And so I just said, I really want to have this conversation with you because I really want to do some things, just me and you. But can we circle back around? Because my brain needs to be, you know, thinking about what I have to do next.
Yeah.
I heard this professor speak about attention deficit, which I totally have adult ADD big time. And so he says we meet people at their place of performance. And with anxiety and all of these triggers and overstimulation, we provide that safety net. So for me, it's things like that saying, can we circle back to that? Or making a note or all of these things just to make sure I'm not throwing an adult fit, you know, because I want to have these conversations. I want it to be pleasant, but it's not going to be if I'm, you know, uncomfortable or if everything's coming at me all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about practical steps, which again, we've touched on that a little bit, but are there other things? And I can say three things that I use every single day right now are I have a pair of earplugs. Mm-hmm. I have a face mask that literally says do not disturb on it.
And
I have a weighted blanket.
Yeah.
And I use those every single day. I use them when I sleep, but I also use them sometimes. I will feel, especially mid-afternoon, I have a huge energy dip every day mid-afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, all right, I have to go block everything out. And sometimes it literally is 5 minutes, but I'll go on my bed, put in my earplugs, put on my mask, go under my blanket and just breathe and then come back out. And, you know, that is just what I need. And if that's all it takes, then super.
Right.
You know,
Super.
So maybe in the past I would have said, why do you need that? But I don't now because I understand it's because I'm doing so much that I need to protect my body and my brain so I can carry on. Mm-hmm. So if someone has not yet given themselves permission to honor the way they're wired, that would be my hope from this podcast.
That's a good takeaway.
To say, this does not mean I'm weak. It actually means the opposite. It means I am kicking butt every day and that is hard.
It is.
And there might be people in my house driving me crazy while I'm doing it.
Right.
So if I can like take a 5 minute grown-up time out and come back and go at it again, then I'm pretty darn awesome.
Yeah. You know, I love music. And so the other day, again, I have a child who has gone through surgery recently, and so I was helping with the boys a lot. And anyway, I turned everything off except for music, and it wasn't worship. It was old 70s rock. I mean, like it was just a fun station, and I put it in the background, and I started doing what I needed to do and started hanging out. And pretty soon it was really cool because I realized that my whole brain, the way I'm wired, had tuned into this just fun, lighthearted music. And it, you know, it could have been 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, 2020. It didn't matter, but had tuned into these songs. And I was finding myself like light.
Yeah.
As I was going through the house, doing the things I needed to do. And not only that, what was really cool is I realized as I looked at these two sweet, sweet boys, is that it was impacting them too. Is that they were like dancing and being goofy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, we needed to shut it all down.
Yes, absolutely. A few years ago, my mentor had this conversation with me because every summer we have family members that come in. And she said, I need you to go and look at your calendar and I need you to schedule breaks, like make an appointment with yourself. No one needs to know that you're having an hour to yourself. So make an appointment with yourself. So I will block off that time and be like, I have an appointment. Or I'll tell my daughters, you can come in my room to ask me questions at this time, but like, don't disturb me before that. Now my kids are older, so that's easier for me to do now, but just guarding that time a little closely and knowing I need a break and to be off limits for people. So that's my go-to.
Yeah. So I think I had three R's come to mind while we were talking because I love alliteration. Of course you did. So I think we can ask, do I need rest? Like that was the example I gave. Yeah. Do I need a reset? That's like what Suze did. Music yes. and things like that can reset. Or do I need a retreat? Like Jennifer said, is it mm-hmm. time for some boundaries in my life? So do I need rest? Do I need a reset? Do I need a retreat? I think those are three really practical questions we can ask when we feel overstimulated.
Yeah. I don't know why. Just you saying that, like, I just had a deep sigh of like, you know, because yeah. knowing what we can do is just so helpful.
And permission to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So next week, we are talking about when you're overprotective.
And I have a book coming out that if you related to a lot of this, you may be an introvert like me. It is releasing in September, but it's available for pre-order. The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. I'm so excited about this book. I've worked on it for years. And for now, there is a free 1-minute quiz on my site, hollygirth.com, that you can take that will tell you what percent introvert you are. So none of us are 100% introvert or extrovert. So if you want to know how much introvert you have in you, you can go to my site. So no matter how you are wired, introvert or extrovert, we hope that you will honor that and celebrate it. Know that it comes with many God-given strengths and you have permission to take care of yourself because ultimately that helps us love and serve well.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.